A reading from the book of Judges. All the citizens of Shechem and all Beth Milo came together and proceeded to make Abimelech king by the terebinth at the memorial pillar in Shechem. When this was reported to him, Jotham went to the top of Mount Gerizim and, standing there, cried out to them in a loud voice, "Hear me, citizens of Shechem, that God may then hear you. Once the trees went to anoint a king over themselves. So they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree answered them, 'Must I give up my rich oil, whereby men and gods are honored, and go to wave over the trees?' Then the trees said to the fig tree, 'Come, you reign over us.' But the fig tree answered them, 'Must I give up my sweetness and my good fruit and go to wave over the trees?' Then the tree said to the vine, 'Come you and reign over us.' But the vine answered them, 'Must I give up my wine that cheers gods and men and go to wave over the trees?' Then all the trees said to the buckthorn, 'Come, you reign over us.' But the buckthorn replied to the trees, 'If you wish to anoint me king over you in good faith, come and take refuge in my shadow. Otherwise, let fire come from the buckthorn and devour the cedars of Lebanon.'" Verbum Domini. Lord, in your strength, the king is glad.
Lord, in your strength, the king is glad.
O Lord, in your strength, the king is glad. In your victory, how greatly he rejoices. You have granted him his heart's desire. You refuse not the wish of his lips.
Lord, in your strength, the king is glad.
For you welcomed him with goodly blessings. You placed on his head a crown of pure gold. He asked life of you. You gave him length of days forever and ever.
Lord, in your strength, the king is glad.
Great is his glory in your victory. Majesty and splendor you conferred upon him. You made him a blessing forever. You gladdened him with the joy of your face.
Be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out at dawn to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with them for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. Going out about 9 o'clock, He saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard, and I will give you what is just." So they went off. And he went out again around noon, and around 3 o'clock, and did likewise. Going out about 5 o'clock, he found others standing around, and said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" They answered, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You too, go into my vineyard." When it was evening, the landowner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Summon the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and ending with the first." When those who had started about 5 o'clock came, each received the usual daily wage. So when the first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also got the usual wage. And on receiving it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last ones worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us, who bore the day's burden and the heat." He said to one of them in reply, "My friend, I am not cheating you. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what is yours and go. What if I wish to give this last one the same as you? Or am I not free to do as I wish with my own money? Are you envious because I am generous?" Thus the last will be first, and the first will be last. The Gospel of the Lord. My dear friends, today we honor a great pillar of the church, Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. And at just 22 years old, he entered the Cistercian monastery at Chateau, bringing with him a remarkable boost in vocations, 30 young men, including all but one of his brothers, who was left home to care for their aging and ailing father. By 25, Bernard was already founding a monastery in Clairvaux, which he would lead until his death. Among many writings, he left us a few profound ones, like On Loving God and On the 12 Degrees of Humility and Pride, with some sermons he had given on the Song of Songs, on the love of God for humanity. And these writings continue to offer us today a practical wisdom for understanding especially the scriptures that we hear today. So from our first reading from the book of Judges, we are presented with Jotham's striking parable of the trees. Now to understand this parable, we must also understand its context. This comes shortly after Gideon, the father of Jotham and also the father of Abimelech, had passed on. And before Gideon passed on, after having liberated the people of Israel from the slavery of the Midianites, they wanted to make Gideon king. Gideon refused and ask that the Lord God himself continue to be their ruler. Now, it is in this context, after Gideon had died, that Abimelech, still harboring this ambition in his heart, travels to his mother's family in Shechem, to his brother-in-laws, his uncles. And then he asks them to support him to be king. Unawares of his own treacherous ambition, they supported him with all the material and also the moral support he needed. And to their surprise, Abimelech returns and kills all 70 of his brothers so that a path will lay before him unhindered for this ambition of kingship that his father refused and which still lay in his heart. Now, in this parable, Jotham, the only surviving son of Gideon and the brother of Abimelech, you know, gives this parable. The noble trees, the olive and the fig and the vine, each refuse the offer of kingship, just as Gideon did, preferring to remain faithful to their God-given purpose and the gifts God had given them of producing fruit that brought great delight and honor to humanity. The thorn bush, on the other hand, representing Abimelech, the brother of Jotham, rather accepts but puts his own conditions attached to this request to be king. It is not the same fruitfulness. The thorn bush or the thorn tree does not have the same fruitfulness as the olive, the fig, and the vine. That doesn't mean it's not important, but it's just that the thorn bush tree did not accept its own gift and purpose as the other trees had. And so it demands for control with a threat of fire. Now, this parable's spiritual indication for us is clear. Now, the fruitful trees embody the humility that is required for true leadership, a humility that prioritizes service and purpose over control. The vine, the fig tree, and the olive tree found their delight not only in what they could produce, but in the good that it brought to others, how it served others. Now, St. Bernard of Clairvaux, whom we honor today, will speak of our Blessed Mother in these words. She who was to conceive of the Holy of Holies must be sanctified physically by the gift of virginity, that she might be sanctified spiritually, she received the gift of humility. This spiritual wisdom of St. Bernard of Clairvaux also is shown in his work, The 12 Degrees of Humility and Pride, by which St. Bernard simply says that the self-knowledge that recognizes its own sinfulness and dependence on God is that which leads to true progress and spiritual fruitfulness. And St. Bernard lived this himself in his life. In his day, as said, he was a very prominent person, gifted by God in immense ways. And so he received many requests to be made bishop, to be ordained a bishop, a position of great pride in the medieval period. Bernard refused all these requests many times, even when one of his own monks became pope. Bernard, however, retaining his own dignity as a monk, was able to even advise popes and kings. He was able to lead a path of healing and unity within the church. He even preached crusades. Because for Bernard, first and foremost, he was a monk. That calling which he received in his heart and which he responded wholeheartedly. Now, we may ask, how humanly possible could a brother such Abimelech conceived such fratricidal hate? The answer lies in a soul that is starved with love. A soul that is consumed by resentment. A soul that has great distrust in its own gifts for the benefits of others, but always measuring itself against the gifts and the work of others. Here, Bernard reminds us that the highest love that a soul can achieve is to love God for God's own sake and to love itself for the sake of God. Now, this love that flows from Christ, that is nourished and strengthened by the Holy Spirit, is what Abimelech was void of. The bramble tree, the thorn tree, unlike the vine and the fig and the olive trees, was obsessed not with its purpose, but with the product of being, not with its own purpose, but the thorn bush was obsessed with its product being accepted on its own terms. It represents a soul that is not experiencing inner fruitfulness, but always seeking external affirmations. That grasps for more and more while abandoning its true self in a very covetous stretch for what is not its own and what it sees in others. This is the same grasping spirit that Jesus confronts in our gospel parable. The laborers that were hired early, disregarding their agreed upon contract, look over their shoulders to what the laborers who were hired later received from the landowner. Their hearts turn from gratitude of being employed and given something to do to a spirit of entitlement. The laborers that were hired much later, meanwhile, instruct us in the humility we must all have for God's blessings in our lives. Their love is born out of gratitude, not for the wages they were to receive, but opportunity to do what they yearned and desired to do. The landowner gave them as God gives you and I each single day. Now, in the end, you and I too are left with this choice. We can either be like the olive, the fig, or the vine, or the grateful laborers who were hired very late, who acknowledge their role and find deep satisfaction in what is given them. Their love is non-competitive. Or we can be like the thorn bush tree, defined by its emptiness and comparison of itself with others, like those laborers that were hired early. My dear friends, if you and I also struggle with a fruitfulness in God's love in our own hearts, if we fear that our hearts are more like the thorn bush tree and not the olive, the fig, or the vine, let us turn our very thoughts to the ultimate tree, the tree of the cross. The tree of the cross whose fruit are not the wages of this earth, but the wages for eternal life. Jesus present in the most holy Eucharist. This fruit is the ultimate gift that delights every human heart, that refreshes our souls, and that strengthens our spirit, teaching us at last to love and to be humble as St. Bernard himself was.